Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here today for this the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It is Wednesday, Easter Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. And our Congregation of Prayer today will consider the propers for this day, both the epistle and gospel text for this day. I think maybe it's been 2 years since I used it for the Wednesday evening. So a reminder that you can join us this evening for divine service at 6:30 p.m. And we will be recognizing Easter evening for our prayer tonight. All right, good. With that, let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, let's say our psalm together. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, we say our verse together. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 through 8. And our catechism for the week is the second article of the Creed. We do this both at Christmas and at Easter, huh? Explanation, what does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. All right. The second reading for today, it's not really an epistle, is from Acts chapter 3. So yesterday we heard Acts chapter 2, the preaching of Peter at Pentecost. Now we'll hear again the next sermon. I've made this assertion for you and encouraged you to go and investigate it, that all the preaching of the book of Acts follows this pattern. All right. And thereby, I think we can establish that apostolic preaching would follow this pattern, beginning with Moses and the scriptures. We expound all that Jesus has said and done. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of whom we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him was given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. All right? So you can see how each day is logically chronological, sequential, that's the right word. So yesterday we heard from Luke 24 that the apostolic task is to go preaching repentance for the remission of sins in his name, and to do so from the scriptures, that is the Old Testament. I just don't know how well we teach the Old Testament. I'm certainly not, we spend a lot of time on it here in our daily prayer, but as far as utilizing it in our, as examples in our preaching, a lot of times people want more, they want more story, and I think that's actually a very reasonable request, because we communicate largely through story, not just through mere ideas. And so using an illustration from the scriptures is in keeping with the mandate from Jesus and the apostolic tradition. Using personal anecdotes is done by the apostles, I suppose, but it seems to be pretty infrequent. Peter does it in his epistles, but only incidentally and not as its like primary sermon illustration. But the time he was playing football and XYZ, right? So here, this is what we see again, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? But he actually uses a very recent event, that is the crucifixion of Jesus, to demonstrate their hardness of heart and their ignorance. And but now he is revealing to them that what they did in ignorance, God used for their good, right? And does so again by the mouth of the scriptures. Look, you know the scriptures teach that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Right? What stories do you want? Do you want Jonah in the belly of the fish? Do you want do you want the serpent on the pole? Those were the two I used recently, right? Or do you want another story? No. All right. And so again, the central purpose of preaching is to confess Christ for repentance, leading to the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins in his name. This is what we're always preaching. I would say the consequence or the reasoning and the reason why God ordains such things is because the only way to go through life is with a conscience set free in the forgiveness of sins that is in Christ Jesus. You see, without that forgiveness of sins, you're always going to be living in fear of failure some kind of like on the hamster wheel to try to earn God's favor. Rather, living in the forgiveness of sins sets you free to live in faith and love, without fear, to quote the Benedictus. Okay, speaking of setting aside fear, we have the gospel text for this day, John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Then they said to him, "We are going with you also." And they went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, and dragging the net of fish. Then as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This was now the third time, or is now the third time, Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. All right, we're going to do some catechesis on this, I believe, next week. So I don't have to go into too much detail with you now. But there are some interesting notes, I think, as we go through there. They have seen the Lord now twice. The second time, we'll hear this coming Sunday, actually, right, in the upper room 8 days later with Thomas. And now, again, we have an evening and a morning, right? So another day. So Jesus appears in morning, not coincidental, right? And in the evening is darkness and nothing. And during the day, only in Christ will they receive, right? So in the light of Christ, they receive. And but also at his word, right? This is key. Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So only at his word are they able to accomplish. So this is important for us as Christians, is that when we operate outside of his word, we can certainly do so, in the freedom of the forgiveness of sins, but we lack the confidence of the word. Whereas if we can find scripture that applies to that situation and operate according to that word, we can do so with more confidence, knowing that God will still bless us regardless, right? So again, he encourages them, and this would require us to search the scriptures. Again, I think we're coming back to this idea that I mentioned yesterday, and since I keep mentioning it, I'm going to have to work on it when I can set aside the time for it, is to hear the wisdom literature so that we can act in wisdom, right? Jesus actually instructs us to be as wise as serpents, that is to use the wisdom of this world, but innocent as doves, that is to do so not contradicting his word. The only way that could happen is if we actually know his word, right? And especially that word of wisdom. All right, so here they have the instruction. They recognize him. Interestingly, that Peter puts on his garment before plunging into the sea, which is, again, that there's no way to escape that being a baptism reference, is it? Being clothed in Christ and going into the water and coming out. Notice when they get to this shore, it's not far, but Jesus already had fish. Bring some of the fish that they caught, but there were already fish laid on the coals. Isn't that interesting? To bring more fish. He had already caught fish for himself. The fish was for them, right? The word of instruction was for their benefit, not his, for theirs, which is interesting, right? 153, I finally had somebody suggest to me where this might come from, and I'm going to spare the children, but I think it's called a triangular number. Have you heard this before? This was new to me. I should have kept, yeah, it's the 17th triangular number, 153. Following 150, it's known also with the geometric shape of the Pisica Pisces or the Mandaloria. Archimedes, in his measurement of a circle, referred to this ratio, 153 over 265, as consulting the measure of the fish, this ratio being an imperfect representation of 1 over a square root of 3. All right, so as a triangular number, 153 is the sum of the first 17 integers and is also the sum of the first 5 positive factorials. Okay, this is all math stuff. So 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 plus 9, all the way up to 17 yields 153. Isn't that something? So, and there's all sorts of other ways, other reasons why this is an important number. All right. I'll link to the article, and there's a lot of the discussion of the biblical use of the number and maybe where it came from. 17 representing a combination of divine grace and the law. So 7 plus 10. Wow. Yeah, I did not know it was a triangular number. So you can learn about that. I'll put a link in the notes. Yeah. The things you learn. The ancients, this is the reason, one of the reasons to study classics, by the way, is that you would read Archimedes. When did Archimedes come up yesterday? Oh, I was thinking about it because of Archimedes' principle is that when you displace water, the pressure corresponds in reverse, right? So, or not in reverse, proportionally. So the amount of surface tension will increase if you displace a certain amount, proportion to the volume of the displacement. Anyway, math and science is fun. The ancients actually didn't study science in order to disprove God, but rather to understand the laws of nature, the laws that God had written into nature. And a triangular number is one of those. And John may be referring to that, which I think is pretty cool. All right. yes, 153. So you can go read all of the discussion there in the Wikipedia article as far as historic references. Let's see, where were we? 153, yes. Come and eat breakfast. So, important here, this is the institution of our Lord Jesus Christ of the Easter breakfast. That was sarcasm, by the way. but yes, eating breakfast to... traditionally, Christians would break their fast on Easter Sunday with the Lord's Supper, but then gather together for a feast. And I think that's the tradition of many of us still, right? And it's appropriate. We do the same thing on Christmas Day, is we would break our fast with the Lord's Supper and then go and feast to celebrate our Lord's Nativity, right? Same thing with Easter. So that's pretty cool too. All right, so we have breakfast. Of course, as we heard yesterday, this is similar to Luke's assertion here is with John that he is flesh and blood, touch and see. So we had in John 20, you have him encouraging Thomas to touch the wounds, and now we have him eating food. So we have the same sorts of proofs here in John that we get from Luke's gospel as well, of his bodily resurrection. And if Christ is raised in the body, then we too will be raised in our bodies. All right. Let's sing our hymn for the week, Awake My Heart with Gladness. Let's see. How about, I think we said 3 and 4 yesterday. Let's do 5 through 7 today. Yeah, the text painting of the tune doesn't quite match up, but that's okay. Excellent. Let's pray the collect for this day. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. Grant that we who have been raised with him may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray our collect for the week. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Amen. I should say, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's pray a collect for the second article for our confession this week. Heavenly Father, you have given us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, to redeem us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, taking all the punishment that we deserved for our sin upon himself. He descended into hell, proclaiming his victory over the devil, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, preaching the forgiveness of sins and promise of eternal life in his name to the whole world. We give thanks to you for all that your Son has done for us. Help us to know and believe in Jesus. He has now ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand as our Savior and Lord. All the enemies of sin, death, and hell have been placed under his feet, and he now rules over all things for the sake of his church. Give us fervent faith in Jesus and the blessed hope that he will come again to judge the living and the dead, giving the gift of eternal salvation to all who believe in him. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray this day for marriage and family, that husbands and wives, parents and children live in ordered harmony according to the word of God, for parents who must rear their children alone, for our communities and neighborhoods. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray today in Thanksgiving with Ryan and Morgan, both celebrating birthdays, Carson celebrating his baptism. Pray for the households of our church, Gary and Barb, Jim, Paul, Deb, Robert, and Renata, our catechumens, Wyatt, James, Aaliyah, Cole, Lydia, Charlie, Kaylee, Kimberly, Michaela, and Justin. Those who are ill, receiving treatment, or recovering, especially Ralph, Allison, Maria, Joe, Dennis, Brad, Billy Joe, Harriet, Ron, and the rest of the Yenches. Carol, Mike, Doug, Ruth, Renata, Joan, Sandy, BJ, President Willie, and Phil. Pray for our homebound, Dan, Lenore, Joan, Paul, Dolores, and Pauline. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially that of Lutheran Heritage Foundation, our mission of the month. We continue to pray for the work of church planting in South Wisconsin, specific our district goal to form 5 to 10 local teams to partner in planting across the district. One place that our district is looking at is Oostburg, and to start to plant a congregation there, of course, we would probably join in cooperation with Belgium and Adel and maybe Port and some others along that corridor to the north, congregations in Sheboygan, to work together to plant a congregation there. Although many of our members come here, certainly could work. Some of those could be part of that planting effort there, that there be a Lutheran congregation in that community. All right. We continue to pray for our day school, and in specific, that God grant us enrollment. And we pray for those grieving, especially Merlin, the family and friends of Merlin, and our teacher, former teacher Dick. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Excellent. That's our congregation of prayer for today, Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024, Easter Wednesday. It's good to have you with us here. Of course, you can join us again later at 6:30 for divine service this evening. We'll be gathered together to sing and to pray and to receive both preaching and instruction in the Word, and of course, to gather around the Lord's table to celebrate the Easter feast in sincerity and truth, right? The Passover, Christ our Lord. You're welcome, everyone. It's good to have you, and I hope to see you this evening. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.